Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to Benzinga Cannabis Insider Podcast again, your go-to source for everything in the cannabis world, as you know. And today I'm going solo again, as Avi is doing an awesome job right now covering the Benzinga Virtual Healthcare Summit. But in today's episode, we are thrilled to have Lauren White, Director of Partnerships of Beverages, Alcohol and Cannabis at BDXDB, someone with a wealth of knowledge. And expertise, of course, in navigating the ever-evolving landscape of cannabis advertising. So again, we have a very good episode packed up for you. Stay with us and let's get started. Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No, it's an honor to have you. And very good here, thank you. And well, before we jump into the questions, for those who may not be familiar, can you tell us a little bit about you and what you do at BDX?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Lauren White. I am the Director of Partnerships here at BDX, specifically overseeing the US and Canada alcohol and cannabis brand partnerships. So everything sales and bringing those accounts through to fruition.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll be going through those topics right now. And well, let's start off with regulation, basically, and something, again, that's bringing up some news and rumors these days. So with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommending the reclassification of cannabis to a lower risk drug, what impact do you anticipate this will have on advertising opportunities for cannabis brands?
Sure. I know, diving right into the tough stuff. I'd say the biggest thing there is going to be 280E. You know, when it comes to marketing and advertising right now, since the tax burdens are so high for so many brands, being able to unlock those for advertising and marketing is just a challenge. And so I'm excited kind of as things continue to move forward with descheduling or, you know, whatever that may look like, it just is going to unlock more opportunity to do marketing and advertising at scale. Although I keep telling brands, you know, don't hold out for it because, you know, do what you can do right now and do it well, because you just don't know when that's going to come, you know, even though we are hopeful for certain dates.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a very good advice that we often hear here at Cannabis Insider. And I think it's, again, very, very important not to rely on to make decisions only on the hope of regulations yes. coming. But yeah, I wanted to start on regulations to kind of give us a broader landscape. So now, assuming it a little bit, considering the importance of compliance in cannabis mm-hmm. advertising, could you share key strategies brands can employ to navigate these regulatory landscape, especially with these evolving federal guidelines?
Yeah, of course. And with this, probably even giving a little bit of my background will be helpful. So I have always been in sales and entrepreneurship in some way. I kind of halfway through my career, a few years in, I was able to launch my own marketing agency out of Connecticut. And that focus was on CPG brands. And then one of my clients in the pandemic just really took off. It was Reserve Bar for like at-home alcohol delivery. And so I was able to go in-house with my team, work for them. And that's about the time I just became really interested in the business side of cannabis and what was going to happen from a compliance standpoint. So the more I kind of was using the alcohol playbook, so to speak, you know, to figure out how these brands are going to navigate their marketing, navigate their advertising, the more I realized that playbook might not apply. You know, all of the channels that typically you would use when talking about compliance are your social media channels, your influencers, you know, a lot of the traditional media buys, you know, whether it's linear, streaming, whatever that may be. And the cannabis brands and CBD, or even CBD brands, you know, were really unable to do so. I think a lot of that was because, or is still because of, say, FDA, you know, FDA stances on it, them not wanting to, you know, speak to food-based products, things like that. So when the question is, how do we help them get through it? That led me now to VDX, just kind of a great little marriage of being able to do the advertising piece while also doing it for these specific brands that need help. You have to be nimble. You have to have direct partner relationships and publisher relationships. So VDX is an omni-channel video ad tech partner. So fortunately for me, we do have a lot of those connections where we can call up, you know, various networks, providers on the streaming TV side, like Warner Brothers, Hulu, Peacock, kind of figure out where they stand. There are channels that are able to do it. So I think it's short answer. It's looking less to maybe the traditional levers that you would pull, even for some other highly regulated industries, and focusing on some levers that you may not be pulling, you know, such as direct video, programmatic streaming, things like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I wanted to touch next. I mean, what targeting tactics or what channels do you recommend for cannabis advertising to comply with federal regulations while effectively reaching their target audience?
Targeting tactics. That's good. I would say when it comes to targeting, it's almost taking a step back and looking at the branding. So this is true for any, you know, I'm in the CPG space. So this is true for any brand. They have to say, where are we at? Do we have a CRM list where maybe we're a dispensary or we're a product-based brand where we've already developed a following? And if that has happened and you have those lists built up, then you can kind of start in that mid-funnel and start to engage them through everything from your email marketing to targeting lookalike audiences that may be similar to the profiles that you already have. You know, like we're able to use those lists and come up with things like that. If you're not there yet, you know, if you're a brand, which I've talked to plenty, you know, through different associations that are saying we do not have the means to be able to kind of know who our audience is yet, we're big, you know, whatnot, they can leverage different tools that are out there. There's one company that I've had a lot of success with called OneQ, and they do market research and like panel studies to kind of help you figure out, ask 10 questions, you know, of different people that are out there in the market dealing with maybe health-related illnesses or people who have pets, you know, that are aging and may want a CBD product, and then just hone in on who that person is. So I think it's knowing authentically who your brand is very, very well. And in this industry more than others, you even just have to really, really dive in there, especially in some saturated markets like, you know, California is becoming pretty saturated. You name it, Illinois, Chicago, or Colorado, all of that. So, yeah.
That's local state regulations affect a lot the way you maybe strategize advertising campaigns for cannabis companies?
Statewide they do. We actually fortunately are able to scale them on a national level ourselves. So when you look at everything outside of social media, so sites like Huffington Post or New York Times, like basically everywhere that you are on your desktop or mobile device outside of social media, browsing, like a lot of those sites, it's not local specific. It very much can be done at a national scale.
Right. That's kind of makes it a little easier to think on advertising campaigns because at least with especially with CPG products, complying to regulations on how to make the product is a completely different reality from one state to the other. So now let me ask you, there is a significant emphasis on prioritizing educational content in cannabis advertising. So can you provide examples of how brands have successfully utilized educational content to engage consumers?
Yes, I heard something recently that I really liked and is very true for the industry. So we're having to take informational ad unit placements and drive information to information when it comes to education. So there is, fortunately, a lot of education that has to happen around this industry. I just the other day was like diving into CBN because it's like, I know what it is, but like, give me the layman's terms, you know, what I'm looking at here. I'm not a scientist, even though I'm in the industry. So figuring out compliantly how to get through giving the consumer information, you know, within ad units themselves, and then driving it to dedicated landing pages that are typically not product pages is what I'm seeing, a dispensary page that's maybe a blog post. A brand I was working with yesterday said that's been effective for them to be able to stay compliant while also giving the consumer, you know, what they need. And then potentially as a third tier, getting it through to the next step. I think the company's name's Brez, BREZ. They've spoken on this. They've been really good at that. And sometimes you just have to get creative. Like the, one of my favorite campaigns is from Stoked, which is in Canada. Yeah. I don't know if you happen to have seen, have you seen that ad?
Yeah, I think that I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. They did like Next to Stoked was the campaign. Right. So they're Ontario based and they just promoted the nail salon and the bookstore next to Stoked. And it made it through all of the different levers from a video standpoint that they and all of the different placements that they put out there in their media mix. And so I think it's important to think outside of the box. And when it comes to education, like give a few different touch points of education before you're going straight to cart.
Absolutely. Now, yeah, it's especially important in an industry that, again, it's been characterized by stigma and with a really poor information surrounding all products. So, yeah, it's very the role that advertising plays in this industry right now is very important. And staying on creativity, actually, how important are engaging visuals in cannabis advertising? And what advice can you offer brands for creating captivating and compliant visuals?
Oh man, huge. I could talk on that for a while. My like past life was as a designer and like creative director. I just really, really loved the creative side. So how important is it? I think the main thing to note, I mean, it's crucial, but I think the main thing to note there is creating a few different types of creatives. If, for instance, you have a few different types of audiences that use products for different reasons, or certain channels are going to let certain creatives through, whereas others won't. So we've had success running CBD-driven creatives that maybe just show topicals within the ad units. But then once you're on the website, expanding more on the brand itself and leaning into some of the other like food-based products, THC products, things like that. So there are, but that brand had to create multiple different types of creatives to do that. I also think lean into non-endemic, you know, creative partnerships. Like I've seen some really cool campaigns. We have 420 coming up where Jack in the Box, you know, teamed up with, I think it was like Weed Maps last year to do a Pineapple Express, you know, drink that was just that day, you know, so figure out how to creatively lean into those types of partnerships too. I've seen the effect.
Yeah, very good advice. As you were speaking, I couldn't stop thinking about this Snoop Dogg ad about creating smoke. I mean, it interconnects a lot with cannabis, with other industries too. So yeah, there are a lot of opportunities there to get creative and exploit.
I know. And message right. Like if you're, you know, a hair salon can't say my client is just someone with hair, right? Like you're a male that maybe is in, you said you're in Argentina, right? So you need to be directive and saying, I need to reach people maybe 5 mile radius that do male, you know, looking for male hairstylists in your ad campaign. So I think that's really important to speak to the person that you want to get. Yeah, convert as well.
Absolutely. Are there any best practices you recommend in terms of, leveraging precise targeting to create consumer campaigns, for example?
Best practices to leverage precise targeting. Yes, I would say use your first party data as much as possible. There's been a lot of talk about third party like cookie deprecation, you know, third party cookies going away. So when it comes to precise targeting, use that and then lean in on like third party data where you need to as well. That's something that VDX does. You know, we say, how can we utilize those? I keep saying the word CRM, but your consumer, you know, database lists to market to them. As well as then scaling that with third-party tools. So, for instance, I was looking at like, you know, outside of cannabis enthusiasts, how many gamers are there globally? You know, there's 1.7 million male gamers, and I think it was slightly under that for females, but there's definitely still a significant amount of female gamers. We can reach about, I think, 360 million globally. So, but that's with a combination of first and third-party data. So if you can say, hey, I really want to target gamers that, because 80% of them eat and drink as they're playing games, and I have maybe a THC beverage, or I'm at a dispensary where they can come purchase my products nearby. That's the precise targeting that I think is worth focusing on. And you can do that through really some key key partnerships.
Very insightful answer. Thank you, Lauren. And lastly, looking into the future, what major trends do you, and also at BDX, what do you see that will shape the cannabis advertising landscape, and how should brands prepare to take advantage of these trends?
Of course. What I am seeing tremendously is people within the household spending more time kind of on their devices and on their phones while they're watching TV. So I absolutely think that CTV, addressable TV, all of that is going to be continuing to grow. It has been. I think depending on what stat you look at, there's like 77 to 96% of people are on a different device while they're on their TV. So I want to see more opportunities where we're not only serving on the big screen, but we're also then driving that a little bit further through the funnel, the mid funnel. We have a product that does specifically this, but driving through the mid funnel and reaching the consumer a little bit closer to the point of purchase to get them to engage, spend more time with your brand. I also, from a trend standpoint, and this is like more personally, I want to see more widening of like dispensaries and opportunities that speak to moms, to parents, to, you know, different audiences, you know, really, really get kind of premium in nature. I've seen so many brands that like MJ BizCon just elevating what they're doing. And I think there's still a gap, you know, to commercialize the products. You know, if I'm not walking into a dispensary, but I'm going into a Total Wine in Minnesota, I love that I can now see those beverages on the shelf. And I just want to have more of that experience going into next year. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for all your insights. I mean, this episode is really gold for our audience. And I think also that's a great note to leave us off on. I want to thank you so much, Lauren, for your time. It's been fantastic hearing from your insight, sorry. And I just one last thing I wanted to ask you, if you wanted to share any, I don't know, current projects or any website, any place our audience right now can get in touch with you or BDX.
Yes, absolutely. So you can get in touch with me. I don't know if my email is listed, but lauren.white@vdx.tv. You can visit vdx.tv. It stands for Video Driven Experiences. We have launched a Challenger Brands package. So as these brands are coming up through the ranks, you know, the minimums are like reevaluated. We really know that brands need to break into this space. So that's something we're doing. And I would be so happy to talk with anyone that's interested.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Lauren.
Thank you, Pato. Appreciate the time. Yeah, likewise. Take care.
All right. And that wraps up our today's episode. What an insightful episode we had. Huge thank you to Lauren White for sharing her super interesting insights and experiences with us today. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media channels for the latest cannabis updates. And check out bensinga.com for more in-depth analysis and upcoming events in the cannabis world. Particularly, check out our Bensinga Cannabis Capital Conference that's coming up in April in Hollywood, Florida. If you're not going there, not sure what you're doing. So to everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. As we always say, stay curious, stay informed, and we'll catch up on the next episode. Bye for now. Peace. We'll be right back.